Lord be with you. Welcome to our service today. We're so glad to have you all with us this morning, both here, we've got a few people here, and online. Our service today is Divine Service Setting 4, and our readings today our message today is based on our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 37. It's one we know well. It's Ezekiel with the Valley of Dry Bones. And looking at them bones, dry bones, if you will. We're going to look at it in a different way because there's a reason that this reading is here during the fifth Sunday in Lent. It's because it actually does point to when God returns and brings all people to himself. It points to the final resurrection of the dead because it says God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones and tell them that he will raise them up. And when he did, there was a great army there. So what we have is Ezekiel doing exactly what the Lord says. And we see the word of the Lord speaking. And then he says, "Speak the breath. I will put my breath, I will put my spirit on them." And then there is life once again. So our message is based on that. It's called Take a Breather. More along the lines that our Lord gives breath to us. Our epistle reading from Romans reflects that, where especially at the end, Paul says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." That's from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Our first reading is Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. And our gospel reading is from John chapter 11, and it's a long one, verses 1 through 45. It's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So we see the theme of the resurrection being throughout our scriptures this morning. We're singing one hymn. It is My Song is Love Unknown. We'll sing the first three verses and the seventh verse. And with that, we'll begin our service by singing our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon Him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro for the day is from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4 and 8. Precious in the sight of the Lord. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We continue with the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today is from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning with the first verse through the 14th. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, "Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Our gradual is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our epistle is from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning with the first verse, verses 1 through 11. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Yes. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed two days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him? They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him, and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. Dear friends in Christ, the mechanics of breathing is kind of interesting. It's kind of amazing. Every time we inhale, take a breath, our diaphragms actually contract and move downward so that the space in our chest cavity increases. Our lungs expand, air is pulled in, and with the help of a fancy protein called hemoglobin, oxygen goes into the blood. And while this is all going on, carbon dioxide moves into the lung and then is forced out when we exhale. The whole thing is kind of amazing if you think about it. And there's 100 things, of course, that are going on that I haven't mentioned here. But this thing that we call breathing is an amazing thing. And given that the average person takes about 25,000 breaths per day, it's no wonder that we should probably check in with our breathing every now and then. In our text today, what we see is God showing the prophet Ezekiel a vision that really makes a very dramatic point about how important this simple thing that we call breathing is. It actually brings the resurrection of the whole army of Israel. Ezekiel envisions those who were dead breathing again physically, literally breathing again in that vision that God gives to him. But he's also seeing what breath can mean spiritually, that spiritual breath that we take. And there's a very definite pun going on here that's intended here in our text today. More on that later, of course. But ultimately, Ezekiel's vision is actually a picture of what Jesus does for you and for me. See, Jesus gives us breath. He gives us the breath of resurrected life, not just physical life, but the breath of resurrected life. The fact of the matter is, here in Ezekiel's time, God's people haven't been breathing very well. Spiritually, I'm talking about, of course. And actually, if you want to get down to it, we're actually born with broken breathing. Physically, our breathing doesn't work the way it's supposed to. There's so many lung problems out there. And of course, this latest virus that's attacking us is causing major breathing problems on those who are being affected very seriously by it. We inhale all sorts of things that harm us physically, you know, whether it's drugs, too much food, smog, I mean, the pollution that's out there. There's all kind, or, you know, let's face it, a certain virus that's going around in our world today. Those are the things that harm us physically. But there, we also inhale, if you will, take in all sorts of things that harm us spiritually. All of what do they call them? The seven deadly sins: lust, greed, anger, malice. I can't remember all of them. Even, you know, I would dare say fear mongering would be one of those things that we inhale that can harm us spiritually, that can get us down and think that God has left us. And what happens is this kind of breathing dries us up to the core. What happened is Israel was breathing all of the wrong things. And what it has resulted in is their destruction and their captivity in Babylon. This is the time that Ezekiel is prophesying to. And so God actually gives Ezekiel this vision of what that means for them spiritually. It's as if they are breathless, very, very dry bones. And Ezekiel, of course, is forced to take a look at the situation, just as God's law actually forces us to look at our own condition many times. Ezekiel shows the people in his prophecy what their condition is. See, we've been taking into our nostrils the breath of death. Verse 11 in our text today says this: our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off after the bones have been resurrected. That's what God says the people are crying out. See, on our own, we are deep down in the very lowest of low places, lying lifeless there on the valley of death. But there's good news, because a breath of fresh air is indeed on the way. It begins with the word of the Lord in verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So it all begins with the word of the Lord. And what we know is that the word of the Lord is living and active, according to Hebrews chapter 4. The word of the Lord does what it says it will do. And where that word is, there is also the Spirit. And the word that's translated, the Hebrew word that's translated as Spirit, is a really interesting word. It's the Hebrew word ruach. Now, ruach also means breath. So it means breath, it means spirit, and it means wind. It's kind of you have to use context in order to interpret it correctly. So what he says, what God says to Ezekiel to prophesy, he says, prophesy to the breath, the ruach, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, yes again, ruach, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, one more time, yes, ruach, and breathe on those slain that they may live. Spirit and breath, it's the same word. It's a Hebrew pun, if you will, a play on words. But it's a pun that does not make us groan. Because where the Spirit is, there is life. God actually says in verse 5, I will cause breath to enter you, ruach, to enter you, and you shall live. And then in verse 14, he says, I will put my spirit, again, ruach, within you, and you shall live. I will put my spirit, and you shall live. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. See, the Word and the Spirit give us back the breath of life that we lost in the fall. That's what the Word and the Spirit do. Notice what's happening here in these dry bones. Notice what happens. It's kind of like the way that God created Adam. First, he formed him out of the dust of the ground, right? So what we see here in Ezekiel is he's forming this army, all these bones. He's putting all the flesh on them, the sinews, the flesh, but they're not breathing yet. And then God gives to Adam the breath of life, just as he breathes life into that great army. So now, of course, God calls upon his people, and he tells his people to take a breather, if you will. Take a breather. You see, Jesus gives us the breath of resurrected life. Notice what in our gospel reading what Jesus does. He speaks. His word says those words, Lazarus, come forth, or Lazarus, come out. And what happens to Lazarus? He gets a new breath of life. In fact, in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it says that an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear Jesus' voice and come out. See, the breath that Jesus gives actually recreates, recreates both soul and body. Remember how very physical the resurrection that was there before Ezekiel, that resurrection that Ezekiel saw. It was very physical. The bones rattled, then sinews grew, then flesh grew, right? All of this happened, and they're standing there. It's a very physical thing that happens. The breath that Jesus gives, then, it even reaches to those who are in the grave. Notice what it says there in verses 12 and 13 in our text. It says this, Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord your God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. The word of God, the word of Jesus, the breath that Jesus gives even reaches those who are in the grave. See, the breath of resurrected life happens for only one reason. The resurrection of the dead happens for only reason, one reason, and it's because Jesus gave up his breath on the cross. That's what Jesus does. Remember the very last word that Jesus says. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last and died. He gave up his breath on the cross for us. And because of that, we too will have the breath of life, this resurrection life given to us. And now, of course, this breath of resurrected life is given to us in our divine service. Every absolution is a new breath for a new day. Every forgiveness of sins is a new breath for a new day. Taking in the preached word both kills our false hopes, thus making slain ones, if you will, and gives life to the dead. And with this breath in you and in me, God sees us as already raised up with Christ in the heavenly places. We are already there with Christ. It's just we're there and yet not yet. And this is our sure and certain hope and comfort. Because as it says there in Romans 8, at the end of our reading, verse 11, If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The promise of the resurrection is true and clear. You see, breathing's a big deal, right? And today God calls all of us to receive the breath of resurrected life that only comes from Jesus. So, deep breath. Take a breather. In Him, in Christ, is a breath for the weary and the heavy laden, for those who are crushed in spirit, for the despised and the lonely and the lowly. Christ's breath is there for them. It's there for you, and it's there for me. The breath that he gives enters into the very deepest dryness of our lives and revitalizes everyone, revitalizes who we are beyond all understanding. See, in Jesus, we have a breath of life that extends even beyond the grave. So, dare I say, breathe easy, my friends. Breathe easy. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen. Please stand now as we lift those who are in need up in prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Dearest Father in heaven, we lift up this country to you in this time of trial, especially those who are here in Tehachapi, who are suffering from the effects and from the quarantine and the stay-at-home order from our governor and from our president. We ask you, Lord, to keep us all safe from harm. Keep us well. Be with those who are ill. Heal them according to your will and according to your way. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the epidemic that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort all who mourn. Sustain all the medical personnel in their labors and cause your people always to serve you in righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, ruler of all things, your Son, our Savior Jesus, healed all manner of infirmities and cured all manner of diseases. Mercifully help all of your servants who are in need of your healing touch in various treatments for cancers, for all of the other different things and illnesses and sickness, all the injuries and accidents. Lord, we pray that you would help your servants in body and soul. And if it is your will, free them from sicknesses so that restored to health, they may with thankful hearts bless your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Lord, especially for the promise that you give to us of the resurrection of the dead, the promise and the great assurance of your hope, of your love, and your care for us each and every day. Give us strength to face the day, strength to even in this time of trial, to look to you. Help us, Lord, each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before the benediction, I just wanted to also remind everybody, if you'd like to have small group or family communion, you can sign up online at goodshepherdtehachapi.org. There's a link there for you to click on and sign on, or you can look at the Facebook page. It also has that link embedded in there as well. For a small group or family communion of six or less, and if you don't have a computer, if you don't have a computer, you're not watching this. But you can also call the office. Let somebody know that they can call the office and we can set it up for you. With that, also, don't forget Wednesday night we will have our last midweek at Lenten service at 7 o'clock. So tune in once again for that. The bulletin will be online as well, or you can stop by the office and pick one up. With that then, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.